You ever heard the term, your blood curdles or spine tingling? Okay, that was the very definition. I found out the hard way what that truly meant.
Welcome to Tell Me a Ghost Story, the late night call-in podcast where we delve into the world of the supernatural and explore the eerie and unexplained. I'm your host, Michelle Newman. This podcast features true stories from our callers that will send shivers down your spine and leave you questioning the existence of the afterlife. So grab a cozy blanket, turn down the lights.
My name is Elijah, and this happened in Moscow, Idaho. And my wife and kids and I, we just moved here, and we were living in a duplex. And this lady, she had moved in next door. Her name is Deborah, and she looked normal. I mean, you can't find a more normal-looking person than this woman. You know, long blonde hair, she's thin, glasses. She was recently divorced. And, had all the, characteristics of an absolutely normal person. I can't stress that enough. The reason I say that is because what ensued was so unexpected. You know, slowly began to deteriorate. She started speaking different voices. She would, speak in like a French accent. Later on at a certain point, you could hear different voices coming from her apartment, you know, like male voices, deep voices. And she said it was her brother, and we called her mom, who was in Michigan. She said her brother lived there. So it was not her brother. And I tell you, at a certain point, she would leave her purse just on the porch, and her apartment, you know, would just, she would just leave the door wide open, but it was always like so dark. And just looking at that place, you could sense like some, I don't know, some deep, dark evil in there. You know, I'd be sitting there and suddenly she would creep into the house, like all sneaky, or you look behind you, there she was. Or she'd just come into the house and start cooking. And it was weird. At first, it was just quirky, weird. Hey, this lady's kind of crazy, you know, but then it got really scary. And you could hear her scratching at the walls, like the duplex walls were very thin. And you could hear her just like scratching at the walls and stuff. I swear she was trying to come through the wall. But and one day I'm sitting down there and I'm just chilling out, you know, alone. And suddenly I hear the door open. And I was like, what the hell? So I go out to the hallway and there she is just creeping down the stairs. And I'm like, Deborah, what the hell are you doing? And she says, I swear I heard you screaming for help. And she would just wander the neighborhood at night, just wander the neighborhood with a blanket on. And she said that people were screaming, you know, burn Deborah, bitch, and all this stuff. There was nothing. Nobody heard anything. But she would just creep through people's yards and things like that. And you could just sense this evil presence. I mean, it's like, you ever heard the term, your blood curdles or spine tingling? Okay, that was the very definition. I found out the hard way what that truly meant, you know, because you could just feel something sinister, like it was in the air, it was like electricity. I'm getting crazy vibes just talking about it. And then later on, one day I saw her in Walgreens, and she just stared at me with this evil look in her eye, and I swear, you know, there was nothing behind it. I could sense something evil behind that stare, you know, like she wasn't herself, you know, she was possessed. The biggest, scariest part of this whole story culminated one day when I'm just, you know, me and my kids were at home, when suddenly I hear the door slam and I hear this pounding on the floor. And I'm like, I thought it was my kids. I'm like, what are they doing? So I go down there, I turn the corner and I look down the stairs, and there's Deborah. And you could tell, like, she wasn't even there. Like her eyes were just looking, you know, upward. She was looking at the ceiling. She was panting. You know, she was like breathing really hard, and she was marching, okay? Like marching. She was going somewhere, but she was standing in place. Like she was in place, but she was marching. pounding on the floor. And she boom, 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 just breathing really hard. And my daughter comes up the stairs and I'm like, stop right there. You know, I look at the lady's hands, make sure she don't have a weapon, you know, and I'm like, oh, what am I going to do? And so I start to approach her and I say, as she's marching, and she doesn't stop, the whole time she don't stop marching. And I approach her and I'm like, Deborah. And every time I say her name, I go, Deborah. She says in this deep, demonic voice, name. And I said, hey, what's going on, Deborah? She says, name. And then I was like, Deborah. And then she goes, Satan. And then that's when I grabbed the door, the wooden door, and try to push her out the screen door. But the screen door is closed. So she's writhing and wriggling. Somehow, like, I got her out the door, you know, and she just stood there for a minute. She's out the door. I slammed the screen door shut, and she just starts banging her head on this window. We had this window in the freaking door, you know, and she just starts banging her head, like in a real, like, what do you call it, jerky motion, you know, like mechanical jerky motion. She just, like, you know, her hips and everything stay in place, but she just, like, boom, boom, for, like, literally 5 minutes straight, just banging her head on the door. One of the only times in my life I've ever called the cops. But I called them and I said, I didn't know what else to do. I'm like, you need to get over here now. And she's just banging her head on the door. And she just stops suddenly and walks backwards down the stairs. And then she starts walking back and forth in between the duplexes. Backwards, forward, backwards, forward. And oh my God. And then she just disappears around the corner of the apartment. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm telling you, I didn't stop shaking for a week. It was like, you could feel this energy, this electricity in the air. It was like, and there was no doubt in my mind, never been any doubt in my mind, she was possessed. She was a demon.
Thank you, Elijah, for your story. I think if this were happening to me, I would have gotten deadbolt locks for my deadbolt locks.
Hey there, my name is Nicole. Born and raised in Anchorage, Alaska, lived here for most of my life. This story actually takes place on a little island just outside of Homer, Alaska. Anyone who is familiar with these areas, these little islands, who is into cryptids or spooky stories will tell you there is some pretty interesting activity out in these areas. This happened to me when I was out with my now husband and his best friend and our dog. We were staying in these beautiful, I mean, it was so isolated. There were yurts everywhere. Otherwise, it was just us on this island. And we'd been warned about wildlife being an issue. It's Alaska. There's bears. There's big moose, things like that. We had bear spray. We weren't really concerned about it. We've been around these things our whole life. And on the first night there, we decided to have a bonfire, and my then boyfriend, now husband, and his best friend were walking the beach and made it kind of far away from the bonfire, and I was staying there with my dog, eating s'mores, just hanging out, and all of a sudden had this overwhelming sense of dread, and this thought just kept circulating in my mind, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it out of here. Got so freaked out that I took my dog up to the yurt and decided I'm going to try to sleep. My then boyfriend and his bestie had not made it back up to the yurt or even back to the bonfire. I could still see their phone lights bouncing while they were looking at the water and all the jellyfish and things like that. And as I was getting into bed, trying really hard to sleep and to calm down, had my dog up next to me in my sleeping bag, just trying to breathe and didn't know why I was freaking out so much. I felt a whisper right on my right ear. I could feel breath and I heard my own voice say, Nicole. And at that exact moment, my dog jumped up out of bed. His hair was raised. He was barking more aggressively than I've ever heard him bark in my life, and was running around the yurt. Wasn't barking at the front door, just running all around. And have no idea what that was. I talked to a couple of people about it, and they said that's a known area for skinwalkers. And Who knows? It terrified me. I've never felt a full body chill like I did that night. And that's my story. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Nicole. Dogs are sensitive when it comes to picking up energy. I think I'd always trust a dog in those circumstances. Next message.
Hey, Michelle. My name's Derek, and I'm from Belpuente, California. And I was always a skeptic growing up. I grew up around a lot of religion. But sometime around high school, I had my best friend that I used to go to church with pretty routinely every Sunday and Wednesday. And at his house, this is roughly around high school, we got off band practice and I got a phone call and I asked to like use his room to talk. And I remember walking into his room and I saw a door move on its own, you know? I guess I really don't know how to talk about it yet. Maybe I'll try again later, but I love the show. Yeah, but a lot of strange occurrences, I guess I've experienced, but yeah, not tonight.
Thank you, Derek. We'll be here when you're ready to share. Next message.
Hi, Michelle. So my name is Esperanza. I live in a small town south from San Antonio. I haven't really been able to like tell anybody the story, like, without like laughing or can get stupid. But long story short, I moved in with my partner. We're living together, and I've always noticed how eerie and kind of weird her home was. And it was a small apartment, so for me, it being really small made it scarier for some reason, because I felt like I couldn't hide from that feeling of being watched. Just a very weird atmosphere. So there was one night I was taking a shower, and you know, I'm rinsing out my hair, and you always get that one funny story. You hear that one thing where it's like, oh, you know, like, you know, you close your eyes and you're taking a shower, and like, you start like getting all these weird thoughts in your head, like, oh my God, like someone's watching me. In the midst of doing that, I felt full on palm, fingers, hand, like all of the whole, like someone's hand from the top of my back all the way to my hip. Like all like down my spine, I felt someone like grab me. And so me thinking like it's my partner, I smacked the hand away and I'm like, oh my God, babe. Only to like finish my hair out, I look around and no one is around. The door to the restroom is open, but we have glass sliding doors. So I would have heard my partner come in through those both doors. Like it was a really weird experience, and I don't, That's my story.
Thank you, Lissandra, for your story. And once again, I feel the need to ask, what is going on in Texas?
Hey, Michelle, it's Edwin from California. And whenever I think of a ghost story that's happened to me, I think of this one because it was the very first time that I ever experienced like a full-blown apparition, a full like a ghost that I actually saw. It all started when I was in Baños de Agua Santa, which is this small town, very, very small town in Ecuador in South America. The town itself is very naturey. There's a lot of outdoor activities. It's been featured in National Geographic. And it's a very nice place. And that's where this hostel was, right? And I was in charge of running it. Like, I was in charge of, you know, along with my girlfriend and some other guy too, we were like in charge of like reviving the place and bringing it back up to like its former glory, like what it used to be, because it was like the main place to stay for travelers in that town. And we were in charge of that, right? So the owner was very hands-off. He actually showed up just to fix the place and then left. So we were just kind of left there. And, you know, and trying to sort everything out, I remember trying to be cool with the employees, right? But also at the same time, knowing that they're trying to figure me out to see what I'm like, which is kind of going to play an important role in the story here, because it had a lot to do with how I reacted to things. Anyway, the owner had built this thing called a temazcal, which is like this, imagine an igloo, right? It's a place where you would, like a sweat lodge. It was a sweat lodge. He built it at the very top of the building out of like concrete, like just to have, you know, some type of ceremonies in there and everything. And there was always a guy who would visit us and have breakfast there sometimes. And he used to be like, you know, you guys need to clean that, as in, we need to give that a cleanse, because when people do ceremonies in there, even sweat lodge meditations and everything, sometimes a dark energy can stay. So you guys have to clean that. And I used to just be like, okay, yeah, whatever. Sure, we'll get to it, right? Because there were so many things to do in that place that it was like adding another thing was just like, oh, I don't know. But anyway, one time I was coming into work one afternoon, and as soon as I open the door, I see some guy standing in the reception desk area, and no person should be in there, like only employees, because, you know, we have sensitive info in there. We have passports and keys and, you know, files and, you know, information for like banks and stuff like that. So I go in there to try to figure out who he is. And as soon as I open the door, I realize he's not there. Like, there's only the receptionist who's sitting down at the desk. And I look around, I look behind the door, and I'm like, what just happened, right? Like, I mean, right now I say, like, normal. But then I remember it was so trippy. I was, like, I felt like vomiting. It was, like, this weird sensation knowing that, like, reality isn't reality. It was odd. And then the receptionist, she turns around and she's like, what's wrong, right? And I'm like leaning against the wall, like I'm kind of slipping down to the floor. And she's like, what happened? And I tell her, like, I just saw somebody standing here. This man, kind of tall, small beard. He was literally just standing here looking at some papers. And she's like, oh, like that's the Chiquito. Basically, it was a nickname for a ghost that all the employees had already seen roaming the hallways of that hostel. And they had like seen him out in the back area, around the hallways, up in the roof, you know, like it was this common occurrence. I remember thinking like, okay, I gotta get out of here. So I went upstairs all the way up. My girlfriend Carla, by the way, she's working in like on her computer up in the cafeteria area, which is again on the roof. And I tell her, like, you're not going to believe what just happened. I just saw a ghost. Like, I just laid it on her. Like, I just saw a ghost. And she's looking at me like, what? Like, kind of like just waiting to see my reaction. Like, if I'm going to laugh, am I serious? What's happening? As I'm telling her what I saw downstairs, the light above where we're sitting, because it's at that point where, like, the sun is setting. So, like, without the lights, it's too dark, but like it's at that awkward stage. Anyway, the lights were on in the cafeteria, but right above us, it was flickering. It was just turning on and off, like it was really annoying, right? The guy in the table next to us kind of noticed and he went up to try to tighten the light bulb, but he couldn't get it to work either. So eventually we just gave up and left it like that, and it started flickering a little bit more and then it stopped. And I'm like, this is weird, but like I didn't think these two things were related, right? I kind of forget about it, and I just kind of, you know, get back to business as usual. And I needed to go back to the US to get, you know, some visa stuff ready, like my work permits to work in Ecuador, get everything signed and all that. So I did. I went back to California. This took about 2 to 3 weeks, and I got back to Ecuador, and I started, you know, catching up with how everything was. And they said, you know, while you were gone, this is one of the employees talking to me. He's like, while you were gone, we did have a small little issue, but everything's been fixed. We had this restaurant on the very first floor, and he said that one time they were getting ready for the dinner service and they couldn't turn on the lights. Like, they were like, customers were about to come in and the lights couldn't be turned on. Like, they couldn't find the problem. They searched through everything. They flicked on the switches. Everything was working. Nothing seemed to be off. They called somebody to come and check it. It's something was just not working for like no reason. So eventually one of them gets the idea to like go in and check on the light bulb itself. And they realized that all of the light bulbs, a dozen of them, had been unscrewed just enough so that they wouldn't turn on. For me, that's where it clicked. They already knew about, you know, what had happened with me with the thing I had seen, but nobody knew about the light bulbs. And we all found it odd, like, who would go in there? Only the cook goes in, and he goes into the kitchen, doesn't go into the actual restaurant. And those who do go into the restaurant, they would have no reason to unscrew every single light bulb. Plus, it's really difficult to unscrew, right? So we're thinking like, okay, there's all these changes that are happening to the hostel. This place is really old. It used to be a bank, and the whole place was owned by nuns, like a convent. That wasn't the convent, but like this association of nuns owned that place. So it's very old. And we were thinking like, maybe we do need to do something about this, right? And one of the volunteers at the time had this idea to make like an offering to the building. And I remember he burned a dollar bill. I gave up a steak kebab. Other people, you know, gave up other things, and they went out to the backyard and they dug this hole and gave it to the building. And, you know, it was weird. I didn't believe in all this stuff. But after that, all these things stopped. And now when I think back on it, on that experience with the hostel, I realized that the owner was also like not a very nice person. He used to have these strange ideas to make money, like, for example, to give ayahuasca to people and use a fake shaman to give it to them. Like, these things that I wasn't okay with, right? Because it's, what if something happens, right? Plus, they were trying to get the ceremonies done up on the roof. Very dangerous stuff. There was just this strange vibe that this guy gave off. And then, there were other things too, you know, about the place. Like, turns out that the previous administrator, the guy that was running the hostel before, like not before me, but like one person before that, he had been caught stealing money, like from the operations, the day-to-day operations of the hostel. And when he was caught, he had a bunch of money on him, and he literally like took off from the place. And turns out that as he was leaving, he had a car accident and died. So could that be the ghost that roams around? I don't know, but I for sure saw something that day. And when I think about it now, like I try to tell myself that it didn't actually happen, but all the signs point to, yes, it did. So anyway, that's my story. It's very creepy to me, so I hope you guys liked it.
Thank you, Edwin, for your story. That's all we have this week, folks. Do you have a ghost story? Call 701-484-2666. That's 701-484-2666. Or go to tellmeaghoststory.com and leave your story there. Go ahead and leave me a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Was something particularly scary in this episode? Or maybe you've had a similar experience? Leave your comments via our Spotify page. Thank you to all the callers who left messages this week. And as always, I'm your host, Michelle Newman, signing off. See you next week.